Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here. Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What are you thinking? Please express it and send it to idea@wretched.org, or if you are the texting type, 877-282-2337.
Well, our first question comes from William. He texted in and asked, Todd, someone I knew recently lost their job, and reaching out to them and offering to help, they mentioned that unemployment would pad the time until they found a new job.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better for Christians to avoid going on unemployment and ask the local church for help in order to foster reliance on one another?
Sure, that's better. But is it a sin if you get yourself unemployment? I don't think it is necessarily. Now, if you decide I'm going to file so I can sit at home and play video games so I don't have to work, that would be a sin. Why? We're the working people. You don't work, you don't eat. So we shouldn't rely on it. We shouldn't abuse it. But if the government wants to offer a program that helps us out in this particular economy until we get to the place where we actually have a job, I don't think that that has to be a sin. But I will say this, the current welfare program, the current unemployment program, it is lacking the key biblical component. If we're going to give you this money, you got to be working. You got to be doing something. And if you aren't working now, you got to be looking really, really hard. And you got to prove it, not just to file some paperwork, but prove it. Because the biblical challenge is really clear. You ain't willing to work, you're going to starve. And you should, because God wants us to work. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is for Marcus. Todd, I've been asked to speak on revival in my church. What's the biblical basis for true revival?
I'm thinking the first thing we need to consider are some of the Old Testament revivals like Nineveh. Perhaps the greatest revival ever. So we can go study that historical narrative, and I think we can come up with some rules for revival, if you will, although the word is packed with a little bit too much meaning for it to not get a little bit dicey. Nevertheless, how did all these people get saved in Nineveh? Preaching. Please note, there was no band traveling around with Jonah. He didn't set up a tent and say that the Holy Spirit is going to show up tonight at 7 o'clock, bring your unsaved friends. It wasn't scheduled per se. He simply preached. That is what should bring about revival, true revival. And I get a little bit skeptical when there's a lot of bells and whistles involved because it can be manipulative, a la Charles Finney. Doesn't necessarily mean that, but it is a danger. It is the proclamation of the word. So what did we see in Nineveh that tells us that was a true revival? They got saved. They were sackcloth and ashing it. Oh, this is awful. We're sinners. That's the fruit of revival. So I think we can safely say we do see some biblical examples of revival, but we want to be careful that we don't try to. I don't think a church that has revival meetings is sinning, but there's something about scheduling those types of things that is kind of like we're going to plan this so that people get saved. That tends to cross into a line where I think we're probably thinking that we can somehow be involved in the salvation of men by the way that we put this thing together, the music that is played, the air conditioners in the tent. We see another revival in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 people added to the church that day. What got them there? Preaching of the word. So if there's going to be a revival, this is what we know. that it's going to be based around the Word of God. And might I suggest that all of us can be involved in that revival? Rather than thinking in terms of special event revival, if we are all out there preaching the word, in other words, evangelizing, that's what brings about revival. You could also study Jonathan Edwards. You could study the first and second great awakening and how some of those things took place. It was always around the word, always, always. And some those things would just break out, as opposed to being planned. Now, there were some itinerant ministers. There, George Whitefield would travel around to bring about revival. I say, let's all be revivalists every day. Doesn't mean you can't. We just don't need special events. 1-877-282-2337.
All right, this next question comes from Bill, who says, Todd, I'm disgusted with how little church attendance my five-year-old daughter has because I'm just tired of the uncomfortableness and awkwardness of bringing up going to church with my non-believing wife.
Mm.
Appreciate your thoughts.
My first thought is that being unequally yoked is so profoundly hard. So my understanding is the dynamic in this home. He's saved. She's not. He wants to go to church. Mom won't go. And then he doesn't take his daughter because maybe at church, they wonder, where's mom? Ooh, can we all appreciate that dynamic for a moment before we just jump in, perhaps with an encouragement? It is hard. Being unequally yoked and being a single parent, I think, are the two most challenging dynamics of familial configuration that there is. It's hard to be unequally yoked, which is why if you're thinking about marrying somebody who's not a believer, you are commanded not to do so. And I'm telling you, you go ahead with it, it will be a disaster. So what would I encourage this fellow to do? I would try to lovingly encourage him to go to church and bring his daughter every single Sunday. I think it's going to have three effects. Number one, the mom is going to see it. She's going to see the faithfulness that he just keeps going and going and going, and he doesn't get snarky about it. I think, sir, you could invite her. Hey, dear, we're going to church. You know you're always welcome. Don't make it a thing. Just do it and bring the daughter because you are charged to put her under the hearing of God's word. I think the second fruit from this is what will happen to you. I get it. There's some awkwardness. Well, why don't we ever see them? So where's her mom? I get that. But you can understand why people might ask that, even if it's like a Mrs. Kravitz. Okay. It will cause you to grow, and it'll cause you to appreciate the importance of being in a body. You can't. I get it. It's hard. I've affirmed that, but you can't use the difficulty or the awkwardness to reject the assembling of the saints. You just can't forsake going to church. It will grow you. And I think the third fruit from it will be the people in the congregation that are going to see it. They're going to know about it, not because they've been gossiping. We'll give the benefit of the doubt. And they're going to go, wow, that dude is so faithful. He just keeps coming. He gets her dressed up, puts on her pretty dress, gets her hair done, and he just, wow, that dude is faithful. So I see nothing but upside for you being a faithful dad. You can still be the spiritual leader in your home. And I wouldn't be surprised, because this has happened plenty, where a woman or a husband, just swap genders if you like, because you can these days, where they get saved from watching the faithfulness of a spouse. Hey, wait a second. That's what Peter said. He was addressing women, godly character, be just amazingly loving and supportive and respectful. And he might get saved without saying a word. Don't be surprised, sir, if your faithfulness isn't used by God to get your wife saved. idea@wretched.org.
You know, Todd, Dr. Greg Gifford started a series on being unequally yoked this week.
That's right. Now, yeah. Wait a second. Yeah. Did it start already?
Yeah.
How could that? What was the first? Because I listened to it on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's the first one, I think, is on dating. Being unequally yoked in dating.
Okay.
And then the next one is friendships. And I think the next one will be loving your unbelieving spouse.
Oh, man, Scylla. It's hard. It's doable, by the way. It is very doable. because there is a source that you can plug into that will give you the energy and the power and the patience and the kindness and the love that'll keep you from becoming bitter. It's totally available to you. And it comes from, if you will, being married first and foremost to your Savior. And then you will find that you've got the ability to endure, because the heartaches and disappointments that come from being unequally yoked, they will be satisfied in the one who is always faithful, the one who is always true, the one who is always good. And speaking of podcasts, Jimmy, there's going to be a couple more podcasts added here in Wretched Land. The name of this ministry, by the way, isn't Wretched. It's Gospel Partners Media. And we produce all, you know, the Transform TV shows and Road Trip to Truth and all the other stuff. Well, we're going to be adding some more podcasts. Going to be telling you about that on April 15th. You say, why are you telling us about what you're going to tell us? Because it's my hope that you will be as excited about it as we are. Greg Giffords' podcast rocks. It is in the top 1% of all podcasts worldwide after less than a year. It's that good. So if you ain't listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, you're missing the boat. And please be looking forward to more podcasts like that on different subjects, but just as excellent. Can't wait. This is Wretched Radio.
We're living in a world that's gone absolutely bonkers. So much so that six mads just aren't enough to describe it. But we have the dynamic duo of Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz with Wretched Worldview 2, tackling 22 of those pesky, thorny, contemporary issues. Head on over to wretched.org, grab your copy. While you're there, snag that study guide too, because it's the perfect companion for navigating this mad world with wisdom and grace.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. I have a challenge for you. We're on a mission to stand firm in the gospel and reach millions all over the world. You know that. I talk about it every day. Are you ready to dive into an adventure with us and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Visit wretched.org/donate. Text the word wretched to the number 44321. And together, we can continue sharing this incredible message of grace and salvation with the world. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Attributes of God. You can trust in God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He does not change. He is faithful to fulfill his promises, just as much today as when the Bible was written. you can rest assured that his word is still true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not gonna tell you we're getting a new website because, well, you probably won't be as excited about it as we are, but we sure are pumped. This is Wretched Radio. We are launching a new initiative. Details to come starting April 15th. It is a big announcement. This is a ministry initiative that is bigger than anything that we've done here at Wretched. And we've done some stuff here. This is going to be bigly. And we are going to be launching a new website, which means the thousands of programs that we've done, TV and radio, we're going to have a better search engine. They can be used for a resource so much easier. We're going to be streaming stuff with the app business. Can't wait to share it with you. I look forward to a big ministry initiative on April 15th. And until that time, keep sending stuff, would you? Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, toidea@wretched.org, or use the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
We're going to have a new website on April 15th?
No.
That's what you just said.
No, I said we're going to tell you about the new website on April 15th.
Oh, did I miss
it's
that?
It's part of the big... That will be September 1st, that the website and the streaming business, all of that stuff. But it's a part of a... I'm so excited about this because the reason that we're doing this thing that I'm not telling you about at the moment is because there's two reasons. Okay, three reasons now that I think about it. First of all, we want more people saved. We want the church strengthened, period. But we've also seen the degradation of the planet and the darkness and the need for the church to be strengthened and for local pastors to be encouraged and for resources to be provided. We're no prophet, but going into a season where it could be pretty rough. And we want to make sure that everybody is as equipped as possible to stand. Furthermore, to equip us to work through these brave new world issues. And we're just kind of with being told to do something. Well, we're doing something. We are doing something. And we'll let you know about it April 15th.
All right. This next question is from Lydia. Todd, is trying to be faithful where God has me now and not seeking or creating opportunities the right mindset when struggling with pride and not wanting to use my gifts for the wrong reason?
Wow, that's a lot. that's a lot going on there. First of all, Lydia, is that name making a comeback?
I think so.
Because that's an old school name. You know, Helen and Gladys and Gertrude. It's funny how they come and they go, isn't it? What do you do when you want to use your gifts, but you're concerned that pride might be involved? You use your gifts and work on your pride. Don't let those things keep you out of the game. Don't let those things keep you from participating in the life of the church. Of course you struggle with pride. We all do. Pride is the foundation of all sins. I cannot think of a sin that does not have its roots in the sludge of pride. So you use it, you go to work on it, guard your heart, let other people help you. Ask the Lord to keep your pride in check. And the best way that you can do that is by studying the one who didn't go about the business of demanding, hey, I'm the one that you should be always paying attention to. Look at the one who came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. You study him. You see the humiliation of Jesus Christ, and it will keep you from being prideful. 877-282-2337.
All right. This question is from Anonymous. Is deliverance ministry real? And if so, why do so many churches shy away from this type of ministry? Because if it's biblical, I think it's worth trying to understand.
Well, this is an issue of gifts and authority, and whether or not we have a power that is authorized by Jesus Christ and still in effect that gives us the ability to cast out demons. And I believe the answer to that is no, we don't have that authority. That was given originally to the disciples. We see it a little bit in the book of Acts, but that is a gift that was for the early church at that time. With the full counsel of God, the way that we deal with people who are demon-possessed is to preach the gospel to them that God would regenerate them, indwell them, and then the demons skedaddle. That's the New Testament practice that we do have the authority to try to apply to somebody, that God would save them and they would be delivered from demons, but we don't have the ability to cast them out, to bind them. Like only Vodi Bakum can. I think I just recently heard him say, okay, so you're going to bind the devil today. Did you tell the rest of the churches in your town? Because if he's already bound, they don't need to do it. And wait a second, if he's already been bound by another church, why do you need to do it? And it kind of reveals the lack of biblical discernment that we would think that we can go about the business of binding the devil. Do we see that type of activity in the New Testament? Yes, but that is not a gifting for the New Testament church. Did I miss anything in that, Jimmy?
No.
And what I was thinking about, though, is that there are not many churches that do that. I see a proliferation of churches that do that.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Lots. What was the big one in the 90s and early 2000s? Bondage Breaker or something like Neil. So it was huge. And then it kind of disappeared for a bit, but it's making a comeback now with the deliverance ministries. I just don't think they're biblical. And I think, frankly, ask the seven sons of Sceva. They're a little bit risky. 877-282-2 Bondage Breaker, Neil Anderson.
Neil Anderson.
Did I get it right?
I don't know. I'll look it up and see.
Okay, you Google. After you read the next 877-282-2337 text.
Yeah, this is a text from Dano. Todd, how should I respond to compliments from my supervisor biblically so that God can get the glory and praise, not me?
Yeah, that's, I think, a Corrie ten Boom question. I think she had the most helpful answer. People would meet her throughout the years after her saving of Jewish people during Nazi Germany. Well, she wasn't in Germany, was she? Was she up in Holland? At any rate, am I right about that, Dave? Yeah, she was in Holland. And people would say wonderful things. And she said, I always visualize in my mind, I'm receiving a bouquet of compliments. I smell them, appreciate them, and then I offer them up to the Lord. And I think that is one of the most helpful things that I've ever heard about how to receive a compliment. And make sure, hey, anything that you do good, it is not you. It is Christ that lives in you. So can you receive that graciously? Oh, thank you very much. But you could even verbally give credit to the Lord, where you could say, thanks, boss. You know, just so you know, my Christian faith says it's not because of me. It's just a testimony of my God's kindness working in me. It's a great chance to witness. Is it Neil Anderson? Did I get it right? Bondage Breaker?
It is. That's right.
Yeah, that was huge. And with all of the bondage breaking that took place, why do we still see bondage? And with all the binding that we've seen of demons, why do we still have demons? With all the hedges that have been built, you'd think we've been protected by now. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is an anonymous text. Todd, how can I decrease my love for the world and the things of it?
By loving Jesus more, by being eternally minded. Going to get to this in about 2-3 weeks on Ascension Day. Would you like, maybe this will just be totally dorky for you. You want some interesting dinner conversation? Here it is. There are advantages to expository preaching. Here's what they are. You get the whole thrust of the book week after week after week after week. And you don't deviate from it. And that means the pastor also can't go off on hobby horse issues. He's bound by the text. On the other hand, a lot of mainline Protestant denominations used to, I don't know if they still do, but they used to have a church calendar with pericopes that said, this is what you're going to preach on. This is what you're going to teach on. This is what this Sunday is. And one of those Sundays was Ascension Sunday, when Jesus, 40 days after the resurrection, returned to the Father. And that would be celebrated in the church, not so much. So there's a trade-off. You got expository preaching. That's good. But you miss out on things like the ascension. So why would we, what is the ascension have to do with us today? And the answer is, it's loaded with implications. And the book that I'm reading deals with the ongoing incarnation of Jesus Christ and the importance that we have a Savior with a body, not the least of which is his triumphal Psalm 24 entry into the kingdom, returning to the Father triumphantly. Whoa! And this book brings out writings from centuries going back to the early guys, to Chrysostom and to Athanasius, talking about, whoa, Jesus returning to heaven. Whoa! And you read this stuff and you're like, wow, that's going to be awesome. That's how you move away from being worldly. You think about the afterworld. You think about what awaits us in heaven when we get to meet our Savior face to face. That's what we dwell on, and that will make the things of this world grow strangely dim. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.